No shame in losing to the Pats, even if they didn't have Brady or Gronk.
That was a good game.
They're still the Pats, and as long as they have Belichick, they're always going to be a force.
I know. I watch every minute of that game.
Yeah, you like Garoppolo now?
Why can't they get an unattractive male quarterback?
Because Belichick, he only wants good-looking QBs.
Is that on the Belichick list? Is that like a quarterback wanted, only model-like looks need apply?
I'm sure there are some deep psychology, but I feel like we've maybe talked about it on the show before, but people tend to listen more to better-looking people.
I'll tell you what, that has got to be it, because whether it's Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady, or this new Jimmy Garoppolo,
All hot to you?
These are some hotties. I mean, look at those two dudes right there. Tell me you wouldn't want to be the friggin' meat in that sandwich.
More of a Brady guy, but, you know, I understand.
You should never put the two of them together, because Garoppolo's going to look like a lump of crap next to Brady.
Nikki, who do you like? You just put that picture up there. Are you Brady or Garoppolo gal?
By the way, that's Garoppolo that you're looking at right now.
Yeah, I'm going Garoppolo.
Over Brady?
Yeah.
Can we kick her out?
Yeah, like you don't belong. You don't belong.
You have awful taste in quarterbacks.
Okay, I said looks wise. I don't care about talent.
No, we're not talking about talent. Yeah. We're talking about hot.
I mean, Tom Brady's very attractive.
Duh. And air is good to breathe.
Okay, but there's something about Garoppolo.
Is that maybe Brady? I think he's 39. Is that too old for you?
I don't know, younger guy. Look at that smile.
I mean, it's okay. He looks like Jake Gyllenhaal, kind of.
Well, you did just talk about how hot he was, and now you can't talk about how ugly he is,
too. No, he's hot, but comparing him to Tom Brady, he's ugly.
He's tall, dark, and handsome. He's attractive.
He is attractive, but he's not hotter than Brady.
Yeah, I think so. For me personally.
No. Okay, we're done here.
No.
Okay,
acceptable.
I'll leave now.
Thank you. And finally, a Polk County teacher facing 22 years in prison for child sex crimes is going to ask for a lighter punishment. Jennifer Fichter, I just met her, a former English teacher at the Central Florida Aerospace Academy, pleaded guilty to 37 child sex charges in March 2015, was sentenced a few months later. Now she's 31, and she was initially arrested on an allegation she had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old student. She also admitted having sex with two other teens at the school. She said that she was sorry, and now, according to the Lakeland Ledger, they've submitted a motion stating several reasons why she should get a reduced sentence, including an undisclosed medical condition, the victims being willing participants, and a lack of treatment options available to her in prison. Lock her up under the jail.
Really?
Under the damn jail. She's a predator. And there is a fourth story in our Big Three at Three. And it involves a friend of the show getting arrested this week. Ladies and gentlemen.
I think this is what he enjoys on a Saturday afternoon.
Getting arrested?
Yeah.
A new world order, the Illuminati, cover-ups, and conspiracies. Here's another one of Tuscan's theories.
Bob Tuscan, tell us what happened this weekend, sir.
September 10th in Gainesville, Florida. It's Gator Game Day, and of course this is a big event. We're posted up asking people to watch some objective footage of Building 7 and its collapse, asking them non-conspiratorial questions, of course, non-political questions, just saying, hey, what do you see here? What do you think about this footage? Next thing I know, I'm surrounded. There was probably six Alachua County Sheriff's officers surrounding me, telling me that I need to leave or else. Hmm. Well, that or else came to fruition when one of the officers grabbed me and put me in cuffs, telling me I was under arrest. And for what, you might ask?
For what?
Well, they didn't really know. They didn't have an answer. I mean, they were fumbling like you wouldn't believe. So they brought me to the drunk tank at the stadium. You know, I got underage college kids funneling in, and I'm sitting there saying, you know, I'd much rather be swimming right now, hanging out with the fam, than sitting in your drunk tank for no charges whatsoever, which was essentially an illegal arrest, an illegal detainment, kidnapping, assault, and everything else that you and I would be charged with. But because the Leos in this case think they're above the law, there was no recourse on behalf of them. They ended up letting me go, so that's the good news here. The bad news for them is they're continuing to do a disservice to law enforcement. there's a lot of bad publicity out there right now with the BLM movement and everything else. The last thing law enforcement needs right now is the PR of them violating people's First Amendment rights and so on and so forth. So you would think, practically speaking, Drew, you're in radio, Seth, you're in media,
yep,
you know,
yep.
You think they would want to pick and choose their battles a little bit more carefully here,
sure,
in a time where any video could go viral, such as the video of my arrest, which has now gone viral and national outlets are picking it up.
Tuscan, were you planning on getting arrested Saturday afternoon?
Absolutely not. Hmm. No. No, I didn't go there with the expectation of being arrested. In fact, in previous videos of this sort, law enforcement has treated us with the respect that we deserve as media, and they have given me a different perspective in the past. So to their credit, you know, I haven't always received such a hyperbolic response to exercising my First Amendment rights.
Sure. If you're just joining us, Bob Tuscan found himself arrested this weekend as he was at the Gators game, and he was showing people some footage of the Tower 7 collapse.
Yeah, Building 7. You know, we don't know what happened there. We think it's pretty suspicious. You got a 42-story building. It's standing there at 5:20 in the afternoon, the day of September 11th, 2001, and it proceeds to fall in 6 seconds, faster than Hillary Clinton fainted at the recent endeavor she was at.
Goodness gracious. was anyone receptive at the football game that you were showing this footage to? Did anyone buy into the fact that it may have indeed been an inside job?
Well, you know, a lot of people said they never heard of Building 7 and that it was worth further investigation. I had one lady who had a plastic cup in her hand who asked me if I thought it was a suspiracy.
Suspiracy,
yes. Suspiracy. That was her quote.
Okay.
You know, I had a guy who got in my face and all he could say was, Muslim extremism over and over and over again.
Okay.
So the reactions really ran the gamut. And ultimately, when people are taken off guard and they just watch the footage of Building 7, you're bound to ask questions, regardless if you think it was George Bush, the Illuminati, or whatever it may be, even if it was frickin' Al-Qaeda. You still have to say to yourself, this is kind of strange how this building just falls in its own footprint.
So, Tuscan, still after all these years, you still believe 9/11 was an inside job?
I believe that compartmentalized aspects of evil orchestrated this event beyond what we were told. I believe that the structures did not fall in the manner we were told they fell because of jet fuel. Jet fuel did not melt steel beams. And there's a group called Architects and Engineers now who's bringing this into the mainstream. These are guys who are just professional architects, professional engineers, and they say, hey, we're using the scientific method here to ask questions that deserve to be answered 15 years later.
Bob Tuscan, always good catching up with you. Do you have a legal defense fund thus far, or is it unnecessary at this juncture?
I do not need a legal defense fund. I was not charged. In fact, there is litigation that may take place here, and I might receive compensation for this. That was not my intention. However, we need to tell law enforcement that they have to be First Amendment protectors and that they need to continue to work for us, being public servants, being peace officers, and not thugs that can come and trump us with their tyranny.
Very good. Thank you, Bob Tuscan. Always great catching up with you.
See what I did there? Trump us with our tyranny?
I definitely see and appreciate what you did there. Go have a swim and a great afternoon. Love you, Schmendrick.
Yeah, Schmendrick.
Nikki, can you post that video of Tuscan getting arrested on Facebook? I don't think they needed to arrest him.
I don't either.
They were a little quick with putting his hands behind his back.
Hold it. Don't move from that screen. You're telling me there's a quarterback in the NFL that's hotter than that. You are crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to put a side-by-side on Facebook and get people's opinions. But
who cares what anybody's opinion if it's wrong? Brit so much agrees. Gozer Gozerian agrees.
Hey, good for them. I have my own personal preferences.
No, they agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my friend Monica just said Jimmy Garoppolo is so dreamy.
He's dreamy.
Brady's dreamy.
No, look at Jimmy's eyes.
By the way, I'm not a Rob Riggle fan at all, but did you see what he did yesterday?
No.
You didn't?
No, I don't. I try not to watch a lot of pregame stuff.
Okay, this is funny. You know the Hamilton hip-hop musical
yeah.
that's very popular right now?
Yeah.
Well, they did a Garoppolo musical.
How does a clipboarder, bench warmer, who's never played a single quarter, rise in the wake of what Wells reported? Not 40 throws in the stats, plus who knows him in the media? He barely has a page on Wikipedia.
He's the backup who's got him jacked up.
That's my man, Jensen Carr.
He's classy as Ben Affleck. He's on our team now. It's not a hassle. He's the rich man's Matt Cassel. Put your hands up, stand up for QB1, you massholes.
Brady was the game's Lin-Manuel, but he's gone wow. And though it may upset Giselle, look who's starting now. From sidelines to headlines, for years this man's waited. Turns out dreams come true when balls get deflated.
Some say him starting week 1, well, that's insane, man. But I say the game may never ever be the same, man. Because brace yourself, here comes good old, what's his name, man? Not seriously. What's your name, man?
Jimmy Garoppolo. My name is Jimmy Garoppolo. And I've waited all my life for this. Does anyone know where my helmet is?
Where his helmet is?
Everyone is hating and degrading in the streets and blogs, saying the kid ain't ready and was in the truth about cats and dogs. But that was Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay, their names are sorta close, but when the second string does his thing, he'll turn the cards to toast.
I know many people think the Pats are doomed to lose, like straight edge kids at sea on a Gronkowski cruise. Even Riggle won't pick him, he truly doubts a kid's game. He'll pick the Chiefs and that team with a really racist name.
Yeah, some say him starting week 1.
Pretty good, right?
Very good. I mean, you've never played a Riggle bit on the show before, so they must have done something right.
I thought the Garoppolo bit was very funny.
That's either really good or we all need to really see Hamilton.
I really want to see Hamilton. But, I mean, so much money. So you legit, you're not trolling. You legit think that man right there, a poor man's Jake Gyllenhaal, is better than that hunk of a man with his flowing locks?
Okay. Jimmy, whatever his last
Garoppolo.
Name. Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Is very attractive.
He's a,
all right, easy. Calm down over there.
He's very attractive, but Tom Brady is beautiful.
Tom Brady is beautiful in his, like, when he's all done up for his photo shoots. But Jimmy, just at practice, way better. Trust me, I'm trying to find a picture to, like, that is equivalent to post on Facebook.
Tom Brady's like Justin Timberlake. Except better looking.
So people don't think I'm like trying to go Jimmy Garoppolo, like pushing
Jimmy
him towards
Garoppolo.
Him.
I'm sorry. I can't see how anybody could think in a million years that Garoppolo could hold Brady's jockstrap.
Why is a grown straight man trying to argue with me on this? Can't we have our own opinions?
Well, no, because you're wrong on this. There's a right and a wrong answer, and you're wrong, and Drew's trying to show you why you're wrong.
Thank you, Seth.
There's no opinion here.
Thank you. This is a fact. This is not like we're arguing like sandwiches taste good. This is like fact. Like Brady is better looking than Garoppolo.
Okay, Brady's like pretty boy. Garoppolo like looks like a man. Like he's rugged looking.
How rugged do you have to be to win 5 Super Bowls?
Okay, I don't care about the football. I don't care. You're thinking about that. I don't care about the football.
Well, that's insane, man. But I say the game may never, ever be the same, man.
I'm disgusted with you.
Here comes good.
How long did they get Riggle yesterday?
They gave him a long time.
He leads with Kelly Ripa to his straight hand.
Yo, what's your name again?
Jimmy Garoppolo. My name is Jimmy Garoppolo. And I've waited all my life for this. Does anyone know where my helmet is?
Here your helmet is.
And I'm probably gonna blow this shot.
Are you second?
Yo.
Jimmy Garoppolo. A poor man's Tom Brady. All right, we're going to come back. Drew's Diner is open today. You will find out how Burger King is getting in on the Doritos craze. But you got to give Burger King credit for trying. And if you're looking to find the better of the Walmarts that are surrounding you, I've got some things that you should definitely look for next.
I have a text from my friend Monica. She said, Jimmy Garoppolo is more obtainable, and I think that's what makes him sexy. Tom Brady is kind of untouchable.
Okay, that I get. If there's a girl who will give you the time of day, she's hotter than Britney Spears is to you because you're never going to be able to get Britney Spears.
We We could all get Tom Brady, though.
Nobody could get Tom Brady. Dude's on another level.
I mean, we could.
I wish. Oh, see, Britt so much. She's such a great fan of the show. I don't know why she would do this to us.
What? What's happening?
Brady is a poor man's James Vanderbeek. You know what that is, Britt? That's hurtful. I defended you.
If that was from anybody else on Twitter, Drew would block you.
But because I love you so much, I can salute our differences. But a poor man's Dawson?
Do you think Evan Longoria has a bit of Tom Brady in him?
I'll bet he'd like to. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Bob's your uncle.
Okay.
Thanks for setting me up there.
I wasn't setting you up. I was just asking a question.
They have similar rugged good looks.
Okay.
They're very, very skilled at their sport.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who's thought that before.
No, I have. I've seen Evan in certain angles, and I thought, you know, on a good day, I bet he kind of looks a lot like Tom Brady. We're straight. It is my esteemed pleasure to welcome to the show, I believe for the fifth or sixth time, a man who has devoted pretty much his life to calling attention to animal rights. As animal lovers, Seth and I salute that. A television icon. The man with the golden voice, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bob Barker. Bob, how have you been, my friend? It's great to catch up with you again.
Well, I'm much better now that I've heard that very flowery introduction.
Are you saying I'm somewhat pansy-like in nature, Bob?
I beg your pardon?
Are you saying I'm somewhat pansy-like in nature by using the term flowery?
No. I meant complimentary. Or I meant it in the very most nicest positive way.
Yes, of course. Since I am the picture of masculinity, it's great to catch up with you as it always is. You sound vibrant as always. Have you been playing golf? Have you been spending a lot of your time, Bob Barker?
Well, I haven't been playing any golf. I'll say that.
Okay.
I've been busy, but I have been doing a lot of animal work, of course, and doing interviews in connection with animal work, and I've been trying to stay off the street and behave myself.
Staying off the street is the key to that, I would imagine, and I commend you, as I always do, on your work with animals here in Florida. I'm sure you were familiar with the black bear hunt that they briefly enacted to help, quote unquote, control the bear population. It's so sad, isn't it, Bob, that especially here in Florida, we overdevelop the living daylights out of the state. We force panthers, bears, et cetera, further into the wilderness. And then when they do have human encounters, we slaughter them. We have an obligation to treat animals a little bit better than that, don't we, Bob?
We certainly do. You do in Florida, and we do in California, and everybody else does all over the world. We just don't give the animals the respect that they so richly deserve. And I was born with a love for all animals, and I think that a lot of people are. Yep. And I feel sorry for people who don't love animals because they miss such a wonderful part of life.
That is true. The companionship that our animals give us. I have cats, and my partner Seth makes fun of me all the time for that because I'm cat guy.
I don't make fun of you for that. I'm just you make fun of me for being a dog guy, and you're the cat daddy.
But I believe, Bob, that in order to have a dog, you have to devote time and space for a dog. I'm not going to take a dog in when I don't have the necessary time to walk it and the necessary room to let the dog run. Move into a house with a bigger yard next year, I'll be more than happy to get a dog. But you're right. You miss out on the kind of companionship and, I dare say, love that a pet can bring you. Do you have pets currently, or do you not believe in the pet ownership thing?
I don't have a pet at the moment. I had two of the greatest rabbits that ever hopped, and I had them much longer than most people are able to keep a rabbit because they had their own room. And they destroyed every piece of furniture in the room and enjoyed every moment of it. And on occasion, when it was possible, when I was home here alone, I would open the door and they'd just come roaring out of there, hopping out of there. and go all over the house, and I would pet them, and Mr. Rabbit, it was Mr. Rabbit and Miss Rabbit, and he outlived her, and he and I became even closer then, if possible, and he had a spot where he would run, he'd hop to, and that's where he wanted to be petted. I'd have to take the chair where that spot was, and we would just have a long talk, and I'd pet him, and he was great fun.
Well, that's
and
great.
When he finally went to meet his maker, why, I would love to have a dog, but you said the magic word. I can't get out and walk with him the way I would like to, and I don't want to just keep him in my yard only, and so I don't have an animal right now.
Gotcha. We're speaking with the legendary icon, Bob Barker, who did give $50,000 to build a Manitoba Black Bear Cub Rehabilitation Center, also donated to the Burro Rescue Donkey Land. You give back so much, Bob. Do you have a waiting list of animal charities who hit you up every year? I imagine that list is quite sizable. Am I right?
Let's put it this way. I don't have to go looking for them.
you're never want for a charity involving animals. They are more than happy to line up and wait for the Bob Barker endorsement and donation, I would imagine.
Well, that's right. They get the Bob Barker donation, and then somehow they assume I'm going to support them from then on. And I hear from them regularly, and it has become quite expensive, actually.
I imagine it is, and but for a guy like yourself who did amass quite a fortune during your years of broadcasting, I imagine there's probably nothing you'd rather give your money to than organizations who look out for the welfare of our furry friends.
Well, you hit it on the nose there. Well, with one terrible exaggeration when you say massive fortune, but except for that, you're right. I'm giving away my money while I'm living, and if there is any left when I die, why, that will also go to animals, and I don't think I could do anything better with it.
No, I don't think you could. It's your benevolence is certainly outstanding and an inspiration to all of us. We're speaking with Bob Barker, legendary television host. I want to take you back, Bob, to your first radio gig, KTTS Radio, if I'm not mistaken, in Springfield. How did you gravitate?
Springfield, Missouri.
Yep. How did you gravitate towards radio, and then how did that translate into a television career?
Well, yeah, I owe it all to the United States Navy.
No kidding.
And it will take me a minute or two to explain.
Sure.
During World War II, I was a naval aviator. And when I got out of the Navy, I got married as soon as I got my wings, of course. That was just a part of the ceremony.
Right.
Everybody got married when he got his wings. But We got leave, and we all went in different directions in the United States and all came back with our brides. But in any event, when I got out of the Navy, I wanted to go back to school, and I was married, and I wanted to have a part-time job. And, excuse me, and I had never been in a radio station. Mm-hmm. I had never even thought about a career in radio. And I'd never been to school play. I'd never been a debater. I'd never appeared before an audience, period. I just hadn't been a part of my life.
Sure.
And I heard about the manager of a radio station there in Springfield who was crazy about airplanes. He had his own little airplane out there at the airport, and he was just hung up on airplanes. And so I thought, well, if he is that crazy about airplanes, he might like to have a former fighter pilot working for it. So I got out my naval officer's uniform. I could still get in it then. And my wings of gold, and I went down and I met Mr. G. Pearson Ward. And we talked about airplanes for about 45 minutes, and I had my first job in radio. And that's where it all started for me.
I'll be darned. And then a legend was born, of course, hosting Truth or Consequences, End of the Rainbow, The Family Game, Simon Says, That's My Line, and then a good, hearty 35-year run on The Price is Right, thus exposing you to millions of Americans, college students like myself who would blow off class in the middle of the day just to catch up on a little Matterhorn and Plinko. And as I always do, Bob, I want to thank you for the contribution you made to American television and for the contributions you continue to make towards animal welfare. It's always great catching up. I appreciate very much that you make the time for us. And again, continued good health to you, sir. Always great to hear your voice in my ear. And I hope we get to do it again real soon.
Oh, I hope so. I love to talk about myself.
Well, who doesn't? We're always more than happy to talk about you with you. And if there's anything, as usual, that you need to promote, Bob, we are certainly here for you. And go enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you again.
Better be careful. I will remember that.
I certainly hope you do. I hope you show up at my door, and we'll get some bunnies and not of the Playboy variety, and sit down and have a couple of beverages. Stay good health, though, Bob, and great to catch up with you. All right.
Great to talk with you, and I hope you'll call again.
I certainly will. Take care. Bye bye. Bye bye. That's my man.